gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I started out with a made-up mind to one day cross the finish line. I'm pressing toward the mark and for the prize. At times I've had to stand my ground as Satan tried to turn me around, but I will not be hindered by his lies. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
I can almost hear them cheer me on and see the ones who have reached home. Now they await for us to win this race.
A banquet like we've never known will be held at God's royal throne. And there will be rewarded for our faith. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. Oh, I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
Thank you, Gentile men. That's what they are, aren't they? All right, just checking. Just want to make sure I didn't say anything crazy. This morning, I decided to follow the line of the thought for the day. And, you know, back in our planning, back at the end of last year, we looked at this particular date, Sunday, October 31st. And probably 10 months ago, we decided that this day would be called Beat the Devil Sunday. And as I was praying about God's direction about the messages for the day, I thought, well, if we're going to beat the devil, then might as well start from the pulpit and beat him from there down, right? Just go after him. And now, let me say something prior to starting the message tonight. You know, when the preacher stands up and starts preaching on the devil, people freeze up on him. Okay, they say, preacher, what are you doing stirring up what can of worms? Everything's going fine. What are we doing messing with the devil? Because he's been messing with me. And he's been messing with you. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, dear folks, I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and just pretend that the devil doesn't exist. He does exist. He is real. And tonight, many, many people nationwide are worshiping Satan as I speak. And some will even lose their lives in sacrifice to satanic forces. Now, folks, we need to make sure that we understand and that we know who the adversary is and who he is and what he does. And so, beginning tonight and for the next two Sunday nights, I'm going to preach to you about Lucifer, past, present, and future. The past, the present, and the future. So I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please turn to two passages of Scripture, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Now we're going to do something I don't do much, but I kind of like, and probably will do more. And we're going to have responsive reading. It means we're going to read it together. Now when you read together in a congregation this size, please remember when we start, you must pause at each comma, each period, at each punctuation mark, or we're going to get all messed up. All right? So we're going to take it slow. Would you stand with me if you would together tonight? And tonight the message is Lucifer, the past. Lucifer, the past. Now, folks, I'm just here to tell you, say, preacher, I'm telling you, you're stirring up a sleeping giant. Hey, listen, I ain't stirring up anything that's already been stirred up before. But you know something, the Bible's very plain that we ought to be on the offensive, folks. We're not to be on the defense, we're to be on the offensive against him. Because I'm telling you, he's on the offensive against you. Just as much as I want to see him punished, just as much as I want to see him suffer, you know, it's the same thing, he wants to see you punished and you suffer as well. Now, I want you to begin to read with me, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 12 through 15, and then we're going to go over and read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. Everybody find your place in Isaiah chapter 14 and begin reading with me, pausing at each punctuation mark as we read together. Begin reading in verse number 12 with me. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now go, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse number 12. Now, it's very evident, Isaiah, who he's talking about. He's talking about Lucifer, Satan, the devil. That's who he's talking about here. And so he talked about a little bit about Satan and Lucifer of past. And then we come to Ezekiel chapter 28, we learn a little bit more about Lucifer as well. Begin reading with me in verse 12, and we'll read together down through verse number 19. Begin reading in verse number 12 with me. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be as astonished as thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. I want to read you one other passage. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus makes a statement. But I know, and I understand he's making the statement in reference or directing the statement toward Peter, but he's speaking of the Spirit in which Peter referenced Jesus in trying to stop him from going to the cross. And Jesus made this statement. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And I want to take these scriptures tonight, and we're going to do a little more or less a kind of like a little Bible study tonight and for the next two Sundays, except tonight we're going to be focused on Lucifer, the past. Father, would you bless our time together? And I understand what we're about to endeavor and to get into tonight. Lord, I realize that Satan understands our weaknesses, and he understands what we're trying to do as a church. And he'd love nothing more than to close the doors of this church and destroy every member of this church. He would have no greater pleasure, Lord, than to destroy our families, rob us of our children, and do everything he can to rob us of our testimony and joy of serving Christ. But I pray that you'd fill this building tonight with the presence of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd bind the strong man off of this service tonight, that our hearts may be receptive and understanding concerning this matter. And we'll certainly give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I mentioned to you this morning, church, that the most prominent spiritual figure in the Bible, outside of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is none other than Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Now, we find in Scripture that Lucifer is called by several different names. First of all, we know that we find in Scripture that he is called by his angelic name, Lucifer, which means day star, brightness, shining star. It's no wonder that we find in Scripture that he has his own people. He has his own people in ministry, and they shall come and they shall present themselves as an angel of light. Why? Because his very name, Lucifer, means day star. We find in Scripture that he's called Satan, which means accuser or opponent. That's the reason we need to understand who the adversary is. We also find in Scripture that he is called by the name devil, which means false speaker, which means slanderer. We also find out in Scripture that he is referenced by the name of Belial. In the New Testament, Jesus references him by the name of Belial, which is a name given to one which is worthless. Would everybody agree that Satan is worthless? Absolutely worthless when it comes to spiritual things of God. We also find in Scripture that he is referenced by the name of Beelzebub. Boy, what a name. Beelzebub. Chief of the evil spirits. He's the head of the underworld. He is the one, the chief among all demonic forces that face us today. We also find only one time of each one of these names referenced in the book of the Revelation, he is referenced as Abaddon and Apollyon, and both of those mean destroyer. Now, folks, there is nothing good in reference to Satan, even by name, other than his angelic name that was given to him by God, Lucifer, Daystar. You see, glory and praise and honor at one time was connected to this beautiful angel called Lucifer, who dwelt in the presence of God in heaven. However, things changed. And now Lucifer is connected to everything evil, hateful, blasphemous, and destructive. You see, the lesson that we need to take here tonight and stop and just learn a lesson here and take a lesson from Lucifer is that it doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. It doesn't matter how strong in the faith that you think you are or I think I am. We are all susceptible to falling away from a relationship with Almighty God. You see, I doubt very seriously that Lucifer ever thought that he would end up as the number one adversary of God. I doubt very seriously that he thought that one day I will become the opponent of Almighty God, of Jehovah God. But may I say to you tonight, our flesh is so hateful, is so lustful, and totally depraved. May I say to you tonight, dear friend, it cannot be trusted. And you and I are but one decision away from destroying our own life. One decision led away by Satan himself to destroying your life and your family and your future and service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that Satan is not your friend. He is not running around as we see in the costume shops or as we say, he's not running around in a little red devil suit with a pitchfork in his hand. He's real. He hates God and he hates you. You see, Lucifer is and has always been, since his fall, a control freak. Okay, let me say this to you. He is trying to control the people of God. And listen to me, what he cannot control, then he tries to destroy. He's a control freak. He's trying to control you. He's trying to control me. And what he cannot control, he will attempt to destroy. And may I say to you tonight, church, he has no mercy. He has no sympathy on anyone, regardless of your age or your social status. He can care less about you. He can care less about your children. He'll come just as quick after your kids as he will after you, mama and daddy. And that's the reason we've got to be wise. That's the reason we need to be involved in our kids' lives. That's the reason we need to help them to see and help them to understand and educate them in the ways of the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us his tactics. He's merciless. But my entire objective tonight, church, is to inform you about Lucifer past. What we find in Scripture here is we find from Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 that Lucifer is a created being. He was created by God. It's very evident from Scripture that God created him and made him a very special person in the court of Almighty God. You see, he dwelt at one time in heaven with God. I want you to go back to Ezekiel 28, if you would, and maybe you're still there. I want you to look at some things that God described about Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 12. He says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God." Now I want you to notice this statement. He says, "Thou," speaking of the devil, "thou sealest up the sum." Now let me say this. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" Well, I believe what God is referencing here to is that Satan, Lucifer, at that time, as this wonderful, as this beautiful angelic creation. He was the pattern of holiness. He was the pattern that God had set forth in heaven for all angelic beings. And I'm not so convinced that Lucifer wasn't the number one angel created by God in heaven. You see, he says, thou sealest up the sum. Lucifer, when you read of his description, do you understand you don't read about any other angelic being like you read how God describes Lucifer? He was beyond any other angel in heaven. He was created, though, by God. The pattern of perfection and holiness in heaven. But I want you to notice what else it says. It says he was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. And by the way, folks, you'll find also that when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, we don't find anywhere where we find where God removed a lot of the things that were his gifts and abilities in heaven. And we'll look at one of them here in just a moment. But it said he was full of wisdom. That's the reason he knows exactly what your weaknesses are. He knows exactly where to attack you. He knows exactly what to do to pull you away from your relationship with God. Hey, he knows what hurts you. He knows what offends you. By the way, do you know what? He doesn't have to use himself and his own tactics to attack you. He can use someone else who's willing to succumb to his influence to attack you and get you confused about who that attack is coming from. You see? He's very good at deception. And yet the Bible said he was full of wisdom, and notice what it said, and perfect in beauty. Obviously, he was something to behold. He was absolutely beautiful. God had created him in such a way that it was one of those things to where your eyes just gravitate to. You know what, guys? It's kind of like going to a gun show, or kind of like going to a car show or a boat show, and boy, you just get your eyes fixed on that car. You know what I'm talking about? You just kind of walk around, and boy, you look at it, kind of kick the tires, and then you go around and look at the price sticker, and you think, well, just don't think I can afford it today. But your eyes are just—they're focused on that. That seems to be what Lucifer was. It's just that he was one of those focal points. He was one of those angelic created beings that was so beautiful. It was wonderful to look at. Yet we find how he was described with his covering with all these beautiful, incredible stones. But I want you to look down in verse number 13. Something very, very interesting that the Holy Ghost includes in Scripture here that's very, very important to us today. It says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, it seems to be that we find here that obviously Lucifer not only was the pattern of perfection and holiness, not only was he full of wisdom, not only was he perfect in beauty, but it seems that he had the ministry of music. It seems that he was gifted at God. Listen, he wasn't playing tabrets. He wasn't playing the pipes. It seems that, according to Scriptures, they were built in him. That when he opened his mouth, beautiful, beautiful music proceeded out of his mouth. He harmonized in such a way that would just grip you. You ever hear music and the harmonies are so tight in there it gives you chill bumps? You have to... because it touches you. It seems that Lucifer was the minister of music in heaven. And I don't find anywhere in Scripture that when God cast him out of heaven that he removed that ministry from him. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, right flat out, okay? That one of the things that's destroying the people of God today is music. It's destroying the people of God. And I'm talking about the wrong kind of music. The music that is dishonoring to the Lord. the music that does not lift up and glorify the name of Christ, but glorify self, flesh, and everything evil against God. So doesn't it make sense that here is this wonderful, created, full of wisdom and beauty, angelic being that God literally built in him tabrets and pipes, that he was so beautiful that when he opened his mouth, he brought forth melodious tunes, harmonious tunes before God, the minister of music. And yet when he fell, what is one of the greatest tools that he's using against the people of God today? Music. 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 You see, everything about us, folks, everything that we do, have you ever thought about how rhythmic we are? Did you know your heart beats in rhythm? You blink. You ever walk? You ever hear people walk? Tun, 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 tun. We're rhythmic beings. We are. And all I'm saying to you is Satan uses that, and he begins to use music to reach out and grab our rhythmic patterns and bring us into a place to where he can use that against us. I often go into stores. And I'll be there in a store. The other day I was at a store, and of course they had music playing over the intercom, over the sound system, and they were playing songs of the 70s. Now the thing about, don't let, you know what I'm talking about. You do the exact same thing. And Mrs. Swinton, before I knew it, I was singing with the song. You know why? Because it was a song that I grew up with in my day. And I'm sitting there while I'm doing it, and I'm just singing along, and next thing the Holy Spirit said, "What are you doing? You've been a pastor 2 weeks. Look at you." And I had to stop, and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And I was just singing along, just having a good old time, until I started thinking about what I was singing. You know, sometimes we don't think about what we're singing. Now, all I'm saying to you is that Satan has the power of our day and the grip on music. And he's drawing people away from God using the wrong kinds of music. I want you to notice in verse 14 what else he said about Lucifer. He says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." Kind of sounds like he just might have been the leader of the entire angelic host in heaven. Sounds to me like he had some authority given to him by God. And may I say to you, by all indications and scriptural descriptions of Lucifer, it seems that he was one of the most important created beings in heaven, if not the most important created being. Obviously, Lucifer was created with the will to choose because he chose not to follow God. He chose not to follow God. Turn the page, if you would, and look at verse 15. He says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. What happened was here, Lucifer obviously had the free will choice to choose whether he was going to serve God or not. Now, I'm not going to get into angelology and all that kind of stuff and try to describe it. That's not the purpose tonight. I'm just saying that he was given the opportunity to choose, and he chose not to follow God. Iniquity crept into his heart. You say, how did it happen, preacher? Same way it happens to us. It's called, give me a P, give me an R, give me an I, give me a D and an E, and it spells pride. Why? His beauty. Why? His position. And he felt that because of his position and authority that he could rise up against God. Iniquity was found in Lucifer. Did you notice there that what he said? He said that in Isaiah chapter 14, he said that I will ascend. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount. Sounded like he was going to try to take over God's position, didn't he? How does that happen, folks? How can it possibly be that here this wonderful created being actually thought that he could overthrow God? It's called pride. It's the same pride that exists in your stinking flesh, just like it does in mine. It's depravity. You see, it's the same pride that leads us to think that somehow, some way, that our way is better than God's way. And that's the reason we kind of extract ourselves away from the Word of God. You see, iniquity found its way into Lucifer's heart, even in a perfect environment. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8. Hold your place there in Ezekiel 28. Turn to John chapter 8 for just a moment. John chapter 8. Iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart, even in a perfect environment. And Jesus says in verse 44 of John chapter 8, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the... Does your Bible say beginning? And abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There we have a little synopsis of the description of Satan. And we're talking about Satan past. At one time, he was a beautiful, wonderful being in the presence of God, the minister of music, probably the number one leader of the angelic host in heaven. But he sinned. Look in Ezekiel, if you would please, in verse 16. Chapter 28, yes, verse 16. He says, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee. Does your King James Bible say there, with violence? I want you to listen to me. Satan is a violent individual. He is violent, folks. Does everybody understand what the word violent means? That means he wants to hurt you. And if whatever he has to do to hurt you, he will do it. That's the reason, you know what? We can stand up, we can say, amen, praise God, hallelujah. But let me tell you something. At some point, you're going to have to leave this building. At some point, you're going to have to prove who you are. At some point, let me tell you something, mamas and daddies, you're going to have to gather those little ones up and you're going to have to look them in the face and you're going to have to tell them the truth. You're going to have to prepare them, because their adversaries are a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need to let them know. You see, Lucifer was full of violence, and then it says, and thou hast sinned. And because of that sin, Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He was removed from the presence of God. Go to Luke chapter 10, verse number 18. Do you know Jesus made reference to this? You say, well, how did Jesus see it? He was there. Luke 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, I beheld Satan as lightning doing what? Fall from heaven. He was cast out of heaven. You say, preacher, where was he cast to? Well, we got some kind of reference in Scripture where he was cast to. Turn your Bible, if you would, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. 2 Corinthians 4. Well, let me read verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Did you notice it said He is the God of this world? Turn, if you would, Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Paul, making references where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Kind of gives us some idea of where he was cast to. Jesus said he was cast out as lightning. He was cast out of heaven. And then I want you to go, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. I'm just going to make an application of this verse. I understand what the immediate intent of this verse is, but I believe this verse also gives us an indication of what happened to Lucifer past. Verse 9, Revelation 12, 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called" who? "The accuser, and Satan, the slanderer, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, let me say something quickly about that. He was cast to the earth. This is his domain. That's the reason, my dear friend, that one of these days he will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and eventually cast into the lake of fire. His domain will be removed from him. You know, we don't have time to go there, but in Job chapter 1, verse 7, and Job chapter 2, verse number 2, remember, he comes before the presence of God. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "I'm going to and fro in the earth." So it tells us pretty clearly where his domain is and where he was cast to. And we find that he took a large group of angels with him. And we found there in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. You can also find a reference to this in Matthew 25, 41, 2 Peter 2, 4, and Jude verse 6. All of those give reference that not only was Lucifer cast out, but what was cast out with him are those that he convinced to follow him. But you know, it's amazing. You say, how in the world was he able to convince other angels to follow him when they knew God? When they were created likewise and they understood God, same reason that most people in here, if we're not careful, can be influenced by somebody that is not of God. Never ceases to amaze me how quickly people can be convinced to go another direction. Never ceases to amaze me. That's the reason it wasn't any problem, because guess what? The best that we can tell, outside of Jehovah God, he was the most beautiful created being in heaven. And so, by the way, if Lucifer said it, it must be true, right? Because sure enough, the devil wouldn't lie to us, no would he? And he was able to carry a great host. Many believe to be as many as 1/3 of the angelic host were taken out of heaven with him. Well, we find Satan now cast to the earth, and guess where he pops his little head up? He pops his little head up, we find, according to Isaiah chapter 14, that he was in the Garden of Eden. So there God creates Adam and Eve, and guess where Satan pops his little head up? The accuser, the slanderer, he finds himself right in the midst of God's creation. And there we find that Satan, because of his bitterness, because of his pride, he caused the fall of man out of hatred. And remember what Ezekiel said, he was full of violence. Just as Lucifer once used to praise and worship God, now he despises everything that God exists. Everything that God is, everything that God created, he wants to destroy, which includes you and I. Now, he caused the fall of man, hatred, violence. He destroyed the fellowship of God and man, which is exactly what he wanted to do. He condemned man to hell without hope. But God had a plan. You see, Satan's assault was on God's plan of redemption as well. Hey, by the way, he was there in Genesis 3. he heard what God said. And so he knew, okay, now, let's see. God is saying the seed of the woman, okay, there's going to be a plan. So through that, remember, he had wisdom. So he knew God was going to formulate a plan to try to restore fellowship. So now what I'm saying is from that day forward, Genesis 3, Satan's assault now has been on God's plan of redemption. Remember that Satan has all wisdom and has never forgotten God's words in Genesis 3:15. You see, he tries to confuse the people of God. Did he not try to confuse the people of God in the Old Testament? Yes. Did he not try to get them to rebel against God? Yes. And he tried to destroy them through their enemies over and over and over again. Now let me give you a quick resume of his past real quick, and we're done real quick here, okay? First of all, we find him in the Garden of Eden, deception and an attack on God's creation. And there we find the fall of Adam and Eve, vicious individuals. Caring nothing about the things of God. We also find in Jude chapter verse number 9 where the Bible talks there about Satan disputing with Michael over the body of Moses. You say, I wonder what that was all about. Well, let me ask you this. Isn't it amazing how every little thing that Israel could worship, they did worship? Did you ever notice that? And I have a sneaky suspicion that one of the possibilities that I think may be there, that the reason that Satan might have wanted the body of Moses is possibly to draw Israel away and say, listen, stop worshiping Jehovah and worship the man that brought you out of Egypt. You see, they worshiped anything and everything that they could possibly get their hands on, including a golden calf. They worshiped everything. And that could possibly be one of the reasons that there was a dispute with Michael over the body of Moses. We find in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse number 1 that Satan provoked David to number the people. And David numbered the people on that day out of a lack of faith in God. And his decision cost 70,000 men their lives. You see, you don't think David carried that guilt the rest of his life? I mean, listen, David was a great man of God, but can you imagine the burdens that that man carried over the loss of life and over his own sin that he carried to his death? May I say to you, we're not going to go there, but in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, that Satan was given the opportunity to deliberately attack a man by the name of Job. I'm talking attack him merciless, folks. Merciless. He attacked his possessions. Now you listen to me. He attacked his family. Yeah. Yeah, he attacked his family. Now I want you to be careful, folks, when you open your mouth and you begin to talk about something going on in some other family's life. You have no idea the facts behind what's going on in their life. You know what you might better do? It might be better that we just keep our mouth shut. Because I don't know what's going on. I wonder how many people said, man, I wonder what's going on in Job's house. I thought he was supposed to be the greatest man in all the land. And look what happened to his kids. Must have been in sin. It must be the reason God killed them. You know, we better be careful. Because you ain't got the facts. You have no idea what's going on in a family's life. You have no idea what's going on with someone's kids. You have no idea behind some of the tragedy that goes on in families and lives, and yet we sit and look down our nose thinking that we know the truth, and we don't. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you in here wouldn't trade one second with some of the people in this church. If you were put in the same situation, you say, oh man, I don't want that. Well, then you know what you need to do? You need to pray for one another. instead of flopping our chops and stuff, how about let's get alone with God and understanding that, listen, the devil's attacking our possessions. He'd just soon rob you of everything you have, including your house, your car, every possession you have, your business, your job. Take everything you've got, merciless. He'll attack your family. If he had his way today, if God took his hand off of your family, you'd be in trouble, my friend. You know what he wants from you, mom and daddy? He wants them kids. He wants them kids really bad. Now listen to me. I'm just telling you. Are you going to stick your head in the sand? Are you going to fight this thing? So, preacher, man, love, I'm going to go home tonight and I'm not even going to get a wink sleep because you preached on the devil. Man, he's on our case. Folks, he was already on your case before I said anything about it. All I'm doing tonight is just letting us know, you know what? He's real. He does have a past. Listen, he attacked Job's family. And then he attacked his health. I'm talking about merciless attacked his health. And then he attacked his integrity, his character, his testimony. Tried to drag it through the mud. Man, I don't know about you folks, but from time to time I just go back and read Job. And read how he handled things. And listen to me. Sure, he didn't handle everything right. But I have a sneaky suspicion that we don't either. I have a sneaky suspicion that there might be a time that we get in our prayer closet and we say, Lord, why? Why is this happening? We won't tell anybody else that that's the way we prayed. So be careful before you jump Job's case. You see, he attacked Job. Multiple times he attempted to destroy the kingly seed, as we find through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. We find in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, he used a man by the name of Herod and attempted to kill the baby Jesus. We also find that he tempted Jesus after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. We also find that he came into a man by the name of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord into the hands of innocent, of violent men, and betrayed that innocent blood into the hands of vile men. He provoked wicked men to crucify Jesus. And may I say to you, he's confused people on the Word of God. One last thing I want to show you quickly. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 11. Ushers, I'm going to ask you, if you would, at this time to take your place. Brother Becker, if you and your men will take your place. I've got something for you, church, I want to give you before you leave tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. We have a glimpse here in Hebrews chapter 11 of some of the things that Satan put the people of God through. Hebrews 11 in verse number 35. The scripture says women received their dead raised to life again, speaking of these great saints of God. But then he says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. You know who those people were? Those were our forefathers. And you know what? The devil treated them violently. He treated them maliciously. Some of our forefathers that stood up for truth and stood up for right were stoned, were cast into prison, and sawn in half. You know why? Because they decided it's more important to serve God and stand for God than it is to go against what God has said to be true. And I'm going to tell you today, folks, there's a great attitude and atmosphere that's moving about in the spirit of the devil today, in the spirit of Satan today, trying to get some of the people of God and draw them away from truth, the truth of the Word of God. can't do it, folks. We've got to stand. And if Trinity Baptist Church is going to be what we need to be, we're going to have to stand and we're going to have to beat the devil. I've got something for every teenager and adult tonight. This is something that I produced several years ago for my Sunday school class to help them in the resisting process. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, but you're going to have to resist him with the Word of God. I want every teenager and adult tonight, if you would stand, I have what is called a resistor verse chart for you. I keep this in my pocket or in my Bible. I've got, 3, 6, 9, 12. I've got about 24 or 25 different areas that many of us are tempted in our lives. And verses, I've got 3 verses, I think, in most cases, that you can commit to memory. And when the devil brings you into that temptation, once you get yours, you can be seated so the guys will know. Once you get yours, I got one for every teenager and every adult. Every teenager and every adult. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to keep this. Ladies, keep it in your purse. Men, keep it in your pocket. Keep it with you all day so that when you're tempted and when one of these things comes to mind that you can go and reference this, such as anger or bitterness or depression or fear, envy, hatred, imaginations, unforgiveness, discouragement, you can take the Word of God and you can assault Him based on the subject in which He brings to you and assaults you with. Now, folks, my entire purpose tonight was simply to bring you to the place and understanding and knowledge of Lucifer past. When we come together next Sunday evening, we're going to talk about Lucifer present today. You know, some of the same old tactics that he used in the past, he uses today. You say, why, preacher? Because they keep working. And yet we're not to be ignorant of those devices. And we've got to be watching for those snares. So gentlemen, hold on, if you would, Brother Becker, on to those. And we'll, those that were not here last, or those that are not here tonight, here next Sunday night, we'll give those back out again. So if you'll hold on to those, we'll give those out. Take those, dear church, listen to me. It's an all-out battle against the devil. He wants your marriage. He wants your home. He wants your family. Can I say to you, he wants this church. And he wants this church bad. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to fight. In order to fight, we're going to have to fight through the Word of God. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Is there anyone here tonight say, preacher, I'm not even sure. Can I honestly say that I've been born again? Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up high and say, preacher, that's me. Can I honestly say that I've been born again? Anybody? Anybody? All right, maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. You say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been saved. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Say, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I've been saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me that I'll get that done? I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. You can put your hand down. You put your hand down. Let me encourage you to come tonight. Don't put it off anymore. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. You don't want to face God wrong. You want to face God right. In the invitation in just a moment, I want you to step out and come down. We have men, our staff will be waiting for you here at the altar. They'll be glad to talk to you about that decision. How many of you are here tonight and say, preacher, I'm going to take that resistor verse and I'm going to put it to practice. I'm tired of the devil having his way in my life. I'm tired of turning, putting my head in the sand. I'm tired of him taking advantage of me, my wife, my husband, my children, my job. And I'm going to put to practice this resistor verse. And I am now proclaiming tonight all-out assault on the devil. How many of you say, preacher, I'm going to put the resistor verse to practice immediately? Don't you slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm going to put it to practice. Put it to practice. Put it to practice. I'm going to attack Satan with the Word of God. All right, put your hands down. Now, Father, the invitation's yours. I realized, Lord, when I stood behind this pulpit tonight and I opened the Word of God and began to mention Satan, the devil, Lucifer, I realized, Lord, that he's probably going to try to target me He's probably going to try to target some of the people in this church. But we have the Word of God. And Lord, we understand that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I pray, Lord God, oh Spirit of God, would you come upon us in such a way? Would we be so submissive? Would we be so yielded to you that the power of God would be so strong in our life that we would assault the devil and meet him head on? Please bless. Use these dear folks, Lord, as we put to practice and resist the devil. And we claim the promise that he will flee from us. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Now with the heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me tonight if you would? Brother Bob, go ahead and begin to sing. As he begins to sing, if you raised your hand for any reason, say, "Preacher, I'm not saved," would you come tonight? Maybe some of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized." Please don't leave here tonight without taking care of that. Come on, come on, come on. This is your opportunity. Just step out where you are. Come down. We have staff members here. They'll be glad to assist you and pray with you. Come right ahead. Come on, come on.
I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died.
Sing it through again, Brother Bob. Sing it through one more time.
Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt.